take to potential nugget.
Just a couple of questions wrapping up, CJ. Again, it's an often used phrase. What are the three things that they don't teach you at B school? What would you say?
What are the three things they don't teach you at business school? They don't necessarily teach you empathy. A business school is a very, it's normally an environment with a whole bunch of A-type people who are very driven. I don't think they teach you how to sit back and smell the roses, as they say. And I'm a very big advocate of the offline world. You know, nowadays everything is about online. It's Facebook and Twitter, and I believe in the art of conversation. I think it's beautiful to be able to just leave your phone behind, with sit with somebody, have a cup of coffee, and just talk. I'm going off track from business school, but I don't think it's all about getting to some destination really quickly. Sometimes it's nice to take a stroll and take your time to get there, because once you get there, then what, you know? So I think it's very, business school doesn't necessarily teach you to enjoy the journey. You know, one of the questions I always ask, especially young people who come to talk to me about careers or things like that, I ask them that if you had $1 billion in the bank, how would you spend your time differently? Not what would you spend the money on? And I think that's an important question to answer, because, you know, often somebody will say, oh, I'll travel to Europe for a month. When you actually translate it down, what will that actually cost? Let's get to the specifics. Often I find that the cost of our dreams is much lower than we think it is in our heads. The problem is we all think, I'm going to work, I'm going to achieve, I'm going to do this, and then I will do this thing that I really want to do. Why? I mean, at the end of it, we're all going to be dead. You're not going to take anything with you. Why don't you just enjoy yourself while you're at it? Why does it have to be a, I'm going to reach there, then I'm going to do that? I mean, there are so many people who, when their lives are hit by some major tragedy, whether it's cancer, whether it's an accident, whether it's surviving one of those, you know, that changes their perspective and they look at the things that they really value in life. Why should you want to need to wait for something like that to happen to you before you can start appreciating what is important in the world? I think that is something that business school does not teach you.
True. That's quite profound. And some of these I've noticed in the long run as determinants of happiness and fulfillment. Some of these hold a greater cue to some of those things, I would think.
Well, you know, they say that happiness is where three things meet: pleasure, challenge, and meaning. Often we run for pleasure. Challenge tends to get thrown our way one way or the other. But it's that search for meaning. So I think if you can find that meaning and build your pleasure and challenge around that, then you might find happiness.
I'm a big fan of the work of Professor Stuart Friedman in Wharton, who talks about the notion of work-life harmony. He urges us to look at our life in four porous compartments: self, work, home, and community, and suggests that we undertake initiatives which tick multiple boxes rather than having these four compartments as watertight containers. When I juxtapose this with the work of one of my professors at London Business School, Linda Grattan, and her work in 100 Year Life, she makes the point that we all need to ensure that we are working in a way that's sustainable for several years to come, given that we all are likely to live closer to 100 years than our predecessors. When I used to train for half marathons, my trainer would say that the only variable you need to watch is the pace at which you run. The rest will take care of itself. Thank you for listening.